That's right. I am here in studio with State Senator Pat O'Connor, and he is from the Norfolk Plymouth District. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
And, you know, just so people know who are listening, what are all the towns in the communities that make up your district?
Sure. It's Cohasset, Hingham, Duxbury, Hull, Marshfield, Scituate, Norwell, and Weymouth make up the first Plymouth and Norfolk District.
Okay. And, you know, we like to talk about what happens when you're bringing home funding for your district, and finally, it was late again, but they did come up with a budget, and you have a lot of things that you were able to provide for your district. I'm just looking at the list here, and it's pretty impressive. Let's start a little bit with some of the local organizations that people might have a pretty good idea about. Let's start with Raising Hearts. This was something I've only found out about recently. I don't know that much about them, but it sounds very worthwhile.
It's a great organization. Candace Hartdorn, who's from Cohasset, came to my district office in Weymouth a few months ago and talked about the organization that her and Catherine Litchfield, who's from Marshfield, started up to really build community around the autism community here on the South Shore and beyond. And both of them, young parents of children with autism, and they, you know, didn't know really what to do, how to navigate not just the very challenging structure of the medical component of autism and getting diagnosis and all the other structures that come with it, but also, you know, where do you go and get a play date? Where do you go and, you know, have a support group with other parents that are experiencing the same challenges that you're experiencing? And so they created this organization to build that community. I went to their gala, which was at Black Rock, just a few months ago. And at that gala, I dedicated to them that we get them $50,000, and we had a good budget this year, and we were able to get them $100,000, and hopefully that they're going to be able to use this sort of seed money and investment to grow that and to make sure that we have a stronger presence for individuals with autism, especially children, and their families to be able to connect with each other.
And I know that a lot of people who maybe are not touched by this would be surprised by the number of people on the South Shore that do have a family member that is on the autism spectrum. I know a lot of the local police departments even now keep registers of kids that have autism in case they wander off and they know a little bit more about them. So this sounds like a very worthwhile organization. Now, an organization that people hear plenty of here, of course, Talking Information Center. They're in the same building we are, Radio Reading Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. Pat, you've been a real champion for TIC to help get them funding, and you came through again this year.
We were able to score $350,000 again this year to be able to make sure that TIC has all the resources financially that they need to sustain another year. This is one of the best organizations that we have on the South Shore, and I thank you, Christine, for all the work that you do, and
thank you,
Ed, and everybody else who has made this a possibility for all these years. It was great to be able to go down in Plymouth to the celebration of the anniversary this year and to talk to some of the people.
45 years.
45 years, and to talk to some of the people who were there, like Ron Bersani, on day one, and see how important this organization is to so many people. And it's not just the individuals who are blind or who are vision impaired. It's the people who are the volunteers here, too.
Over 200.
How special it is for all of them to be able to dedicate their time to help their neighbors. And the way in which TIC does it, I think, is really unique when you're reading circulars of things that are on sale at the grocery store, or you're reading the local paper, or you're reading a fiction book, on a Friday night. Those little connections that you're making with the population of individuals who are visually impaired and blind, I think, is invaluable. And it's not just here in Marshfield, not just here on the South Shore, but all across the entire Commonwealth.
That's right. The programming goes out. And we always like to tell people our typical listener is older and disabled, because usually if you have one disability, there's a chance that you have more than one. And a lot of people tell us who do listen to TIC, they have it on in their homes 24 hours a day. It's a human voice. They're not listening to a digital recording of what's on sale at Stop and Shop. It's that human voice, and it's that information. Again, we even do some in-house low vision groups. As the population ages, we see more and more people like that. So it's a good way to get information out, and the listenership really shot up, especially during the pandemic. And I also think a lot of our listeners with TIC are not just vision impaired. I think there is a bigger population of people that don't read well or would consider themselves semi-literate, and they like to get their information that way as well. Now, this is something else that you came up with, $500,000 for free period for something that people might not really spend a lot of time thinking about, but it's very important to a large segment of our population.
Absolutely. And again, the same theme where it's just community comes first in my office, and Kenzie Blackwell, a Hingham resident, 3 years ago, came to us. Actually, we read about it in the local paper of her having a drive for feminine hygiene products at a church in Hingham. And I wrote a letter to her saying, you know, thank you for doing that. Thank you for looking out for the community. And it sparked a conversation and relationship that's grown from there, that the state's made now 3 investments into her organization called Free Period. This one is the largest one that we've made. There is a bill before us on Beacon Hill that passed in the Senate that would require feminine hygiene products everywhere in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the same way that other toiletry items are supplied to individuals. And this is a major problem, and that bill didn't pass the House. So what we're doing right now is we're making sure that the infrastructure is in place when that bill does pass, that we have organizations like Free Period that are already out there ready to go, stocking up on feminine hygiene products and getting them out all across the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This is the single largest investment any state has ever made into a period poverty organization in the country. And I'm glad that it's in Massachusetts, and I think that Massachusetts should lead the way on this issue and providing more equity when it comes to issues like this.
Tell me a little bit about education. I know that this is also something very important to you, not only getting the funding for the local schools, which you've been very good about. Tell me a little bit about school, some free school meals and nursing education. These are issues people might not have a great deal of knowledge about.
We have a major shortage in nurses right now inside of Massachusetts. My mother was a neonatal intensive care nurse, and just knowing from her sort of group of friends that were her coworkers as well, it's an aging field, and we don't have enough people who are entering into it given the demands. And thank God, because of the advances in modern medicine, we have a lot of individuals with medically complex needs that are living a lot longer. And the nursing shortage is real. And so what we did this year was we made community college free for anyone who was going to pursue a nursing career. And that could be 2 years of community college and then transfer to a 4-year program. It could be all 4 years. It could be 2 years in a specialty. But we wanted to really show our commitment towards this profession and being able to make sure that we are able to do as much as we can to uplift it and to bring people into nursing as a career.
Now, what about school meals? I can't imagine any young child going to school and feeling like that they can do a good job and even pay attention if they're hungry.
No, and I think that all the studies that I've ever read indicates that an individual who is hungry at school has a less of a chance of receiving a proper education. And so 2 years ago, the federal government universally throughout the entire country put in place a free school meals program for children. Then a year ago, they, due to the division on Capitol Hill and down in D.C., were not able to pass a budget on time. And so the school year started, and this program last school year wasn't funded by the feds. And so the state picked it up last year. And then it was a question of what do we do moving forward? And the unanimous statements and sentiments that we've heard from our superintendents and school committee members and school psychologists and nurses has been that we need to keep this program in place. And so this year we funded it for $171.5 million, and we also made it permanent. And so this is going to be something that, as we move forward in our budget, we will continue to build upon and build into this. And so it's no longer going to be open for debate. Massachusetts is going to make sure we give free school lunches to every single child, regardless of their background.
You also brought home the bacon, as they say, in housing, in mental health, family care, community support, and local aid. I mean, we could talk for an hour. I don't have that much time. Tell me a couple of highlights of things that you think our listeners should know about what's happening in your district.
Well, I think that listeners will hear that, you know, we're securing this money and we're providing these lunches, and I think that one of the things they might ask is, do we have the resources to do this? And I can unequivocally say, yes, we do. Right now, the state has a $56.2 billion budget that we passed. That includes right now a $7.1 billion stabilization fund, what they call the rainy day fund. Mm-hmm. By the end of this year, that's going to get up to $9.5 billion, both of them record highs. And that's at the same point in time we're providing some of these incredible social safety nets. We're investing in our nursing population. We're investing in our schools. We're investing in our infrastructure, our local communities. Massachusetts right now is at an age and era of incredible prosperity, and we're in turn using that prosperity to build up our Commonwealth. And one of the things that I'm most proud of in this budget is that we're able to do this without raising taxes, and we hope that in the near future we're going to come together and have a tax package to make Massachusetts even more competitive as far as tax cuts. And this is just a really solid budget that's going to make the South Shore a stronger and better place to live and work and raise a family.
If people want to find out more about what you're doing and what's happening in the community, what's the best website for people to go to find out more about Pat O'Connor, State Senator?
Our website is senatoroconnor.com. You can go there and you can access anything that we're doing, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our Instagram. We try and be everywhere. And my phone number up at the State House is 617-722-1646. And we opened up an office in Weymouth at no taxpayer expense. It comes out of our committee. To bring Beacon Hill to you and closer to you. So if there's anything you need, we're up in Weymouth too. So always available for a meeting, a conversation, an idea, or you know, if you have a problem, please reach out.
Now, you, along with several other legislators on Beacon Hill this year, also have had some summer interns. You have three in with you today. Are you guys all over 6 feet? You're the tallest group that's come in here so far. So I want you to step up to the microphone very quickly. Just say your name and your hometown, and if you'd like to add anything else. Okay, go for it.
Hi, I'm Drew Horn. My hometown is Duxbury, Massachusetts, and you know, Pat O'Connor does great things for us here at the State House.
That's terrific. Now, and you're a student at
St. Lawrence University.
Okay, very nice. Step up here, bachelor number two.
My name is Jack Vader. I'm currently a senior at Ohio Wesleyan University in Columbus, Ohio, and I've been interning with Senator O'Connor for a couple months now, and it's been a great experience.
And what's your hometown?
My hometown is Cohasset.
Okay, very nice. Okay, you young man, step up.
My name is Chase Janes from Marshfield. I'm going into my senior year at Thayer Academy, and this is my third day with interning with Senator O'Connor, and it's a great time.
Do you feel
time.
The pressure?
Absolutely not.
That's great. Greg Denton, Chief of Staff, would you like to say anything?
Nope.
You're always here doing stuff. Pat, anything else you want to add?
No, just wanted to, again, thank all the constituents for the opportunity to be able to go up there and serve them. This has been the best job I've ever had in my entire life. I enjoy it every single day, and we'll continue to work on your behalf.
That's terrific, and we appreciate you joining us. Again, that's State Senator Patrick O'Connor.